The following presentation is brought to you by Priority One.
Okay, good evening. I wanted this evening, in the spirit of the Parshas HaShavua, guiding us in terms of information that's pertinent and relevant to us at the appropriate times, to speak about something which we find clearly in the parsha, which can serve as a lesson and some really basic, very critical advice for ourselves as parents and for anyone who really is dealing with youth today, and for that matter, even beyond the years of youth. In the Inyan of the Mon, where there was some effort on the part of some people to go out and to collect mon on Shabbos, even though it was clearly indicated that it's not going to be there on Shabbos, in response to this attempted infraction, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, ad ono me antem lishmor mitzvaysai v'soyroisoy. How much longer will you refuse to keep my mitzvahs and my Torah?" And the Sephorno, points out that Moshe Rabbeinu is included in the accusation. Yomer Hashem el Moshe ad ono me antem. How much longer will you Moshe too, refuse to keep my mitzvahs? You are guilty on a certain level of Chilul Shabbos, or the attempted Chilul Shabbos that took place. Why? So the Sepunu says, because even though Moshe Rabbeinu had clarified and indicated that Shabbos is not going to be any mon, he wasn't specific enough in his directive. He didn't tell them which av melocha or melochos you would be violating by which processes of collecting the mon. He didn't tell them, he says, the Sepurnu, the tam, the reason for Shabbos. He didn't tell them the inyan, the whole concept of Shabbos. He didn't tell them the reward and the punishment that one receives for the observance of Shabbos. And because he didn't, it seems that the lack of this total information was responsible for this attempted Chilul Shabbos, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu is held responsible together with the responsible parties. Ad ono me antem, how much longer will you Moshe too, refuse to keep the mitzvahs together with those who were involved in this refusal? And if we think about it for a moment, it seems that even though Moshe Rabbeinu communicated that Shabbos was not the time for mon, and even had he communicated which av melocha you're going to violate, it's going to be tlisha, taking it up, and hoitzoa, from carrying it, whatever it may be, and had he said that, but he didn't say the inyan of the Shabbos. Or he said the inyan of the Shabbos, what Shabbos is in general, but he didn't explain the tam, the reason, the benefit, the gishmak, if you will. Tam is refers to also the good taste that Shabbos leaves, or the reward one gets, or even the punishment. Had he left out, or since he left out all these ingredients, and these ingredients are the ingredients for which he's being held responsible, it would seem that even had he mentioned most of these ingredients, but left out part of it, he didn't give the reason. He didn't give the inyan, even though he gave everything else. He is considered responsible because it's because of his lack of giving the total picture of information that this Chilul Shabbos was attempted, and therefore he is held culpable and accountable as if he himself had refused or attempted to refuse or refused to keep the Shabbos. I think that this concept is telling. We're speaking about a generation on the highest level of emunah. This is the Dor Deo. This is a nation who had just gone through the Yamsuf and reached levels of emuna, vayar Yisrael sayod hagdoilo, they saw the Yad Hashem, vayaminu b'Hashem uvemeisha avdoi. And they believed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There was no question about any of these things. Such a generation. And yet, and shortly after, right after, we have this Maisa, and Moshe Rabbeinu is held responsible for what happened because he didn't tell them every aspect of the benefit, of the reason, of the inyan, of the reward, and the specific details of it, so they should fully understand exactly what they are doing. I think that this message seems to be very, very relevant in our generation as well. I would say that our children in their young years start off, I don't know, on the level of the Yoitzei Mitzrayim, those that went out of Mitzrayim, those that passed through the Yamsuf, but certainly on a very significant level of Emunah. The little children have a basic, our children, those that are educated in our yeshivas and are educated in our homes, they have the basic concepts of Emunah. Brings to mind an episode of a young child, I think it was in the pre-1A class, must have been a five-year-old child, I don't know, and had gotten into trouble and was asked to stand outside of the classroom. And it just so happened that his mother passed by, and when she tells him, wow, it sure is good, and she tried to get him out of the trouble, whatever as mothers will do. And when she says to the child, oh, it's a good thing that I happened to come by right now and at this particular time, and the kid looks at her almost in disbelief and says, Hashem made it that way. Like, what are you talking about? I mean, our kids get a lot. They reach Vayaminu Bashem uvemeisha avdoi. But something happens. And sometimes as they get older, they have questions. Especially, as we've mentioned here many times, when the burden of the observance of mitzvahs and its details and its myriad details and its complexity and sometimes its restrictions and limitations, when they start to gnaw away at them. And in order to appreciate them more, they need to have some greater sense of what is it really all about? What is this Shabbos thing? What am I doing when I do this? What am I doing when I do that? What's the inyan? What's the concept? What's the reason? What will I get for it? And I dare say, Moshe Rabbeinu was also told on the not only the reward but the einish. I wonder if today we should not emphasize that as much, because our children today in this generation is a very weak generation. You know, previous generations were called tissue paper. Weak, not ready to face up to consequences in their fullest. And maybe today's generation is even weaker. Maybe it's like cobwebs, I don't know. But so we have to go easy on the fear and the threat, because I don't know if our kids are ready to take it. But certainly the reward, the benefits, the understanding, the reason. This is so critical, and yet so many of our children feel that it's so lacking in their chinuch today that they really don't have a concept of what it's all about. And when they don't have a concept of what it's all about, or even they're missing one detail of what it's all about, they got everything but not the concept, but not the tam, but not the great benefits, the reward, then they are being positioned for failure. They are being positioned for going, for veering from the mitzvahs, because even Moshe Rabbeinu was held responsible for the attempted Chilul Shabbos because he didn't give, his responsibility was, his guilt was, because he didn't give all of the details and insights necessary to prevent them from drifting and violating the mitzvahs. And I think that especially the parshias from this point on in the Parshas HaShavua happens to be this particular this particular parsha. There's only one mitzvah there of Trum Shabbos, But the parshas are so full of mitzvahs that if we take the time to pay attention to the mitzvahs and try, especially with a sefer like the Sefer Achinuch or others that give what they call tam v'toeles, reasons, geschmack in the mitzvah and benefits, if we take the time to study these and to present them to our children, we've probably done something very, very positive in making the whole religious experience more meaningful to them, and in the process of being more meaningful, in a sense, almost less restrictive, less burdensome, less painful because of the meaning that is conveyed. And this, I think, is something that we should constantly keep in mind, because it's something that truly, truly bothers and disturbs so many of us, so many of our children. I think in this light, it's important to review what I think is a basic concept that everyone is aware of, and that is that when children ask questions, we should be at least prepared to listen, and listen well to the question. Why do I have to do this? What is this all about? What is this doing for me? What's the point of it all? Why so many difficulties and restrictions? And I think that that question should be answered, or at least should be taken seriously and attempted to answer. Because even though, and we've been taught and we know that oftentimes these complaints are excuses. Because a person really doesn't want to do something or doesn't want to be burdened, so they have an excuse. I don't understand, it doesn't make any sense, and da, 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 da. But the truth of the matter is the excuse must be dealt with before we can unbear, or because we can bear the raw issues and get to deal with them. The excuses are buffer, the excuses are barriers to protect the issues, and we do have to deal with these excuses. I think that there is something to be said in favor of the concept of difficulty, and it should not be the emphasis to our children, because they don't want to hear about the difficulties. But when they are burdened by the difficulties, they should be made aware of the fact that difficulty creates a greater sense of appreciation. The things that come easy are not appreciated. When Chazal say there are three matonis, gifts, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Klal Yisrael, and a gift is something that comes easy. Torah, Eretz Yisrael, and Olam Haba. But all of them were given with Yisurim, were given with difficulty. And the Ramban explains, because through difficulty, we appreciate. A gift, something that's easy, is taken for granted, and it is not appreciated. Something that comes with pain, with Schwerkeit, with difficulty, that's something that we develop an appreciation for. So they also have to understand that despite the fact that we try to mitigate these difficulties, but they should also be aware of the fact that difficulties do have benefits in terms of appreciation. And appreciation is a very strong motivation in continued dedication, commitment, and observance. The famous story of the, I'm sure we must have mentioned it here, the old man, the senior Rockefeller, who used to use the same driver as his son, and the driver once asked the senior Rockefeller, he says, "How come when I drive you give me a $5 tip, and your son gives me a $25 tip?" And the old Mr. Rockefeller says, "I didn't have a rich father. I worked for this money. I struggled. It didn't come easy to me. I didn't inherit it from my wealthy father. And therefore, I appreciate money. It means more to me, and it's harder for me to part with it." My son, on the other hand, who inherited what he has, doesn't have the same level of appreciation. And this is something that I think our children should also be aware of that the difficulties do have side benefits, although we don't want to emphasize the difficulty because they have enough of that. But the side benefits, of course, are a deeper sense of appreciation. And when there's a deeper sense of appreciation, there's more motivation and more ability to accomplish. There's something else, I think, that should also be mentioned. Should also be mentioned in this context. Many of the things that our children do and find burdensome, all that they need sometimes is someone to sympathize and to share with them the fact that it's a burden. Yes, I know what you mean. It is difficult. I share that burden with you. I find it difficult too. And despite that, maybe the difficulty motivates, maybe the difficulty makes it more choshev, it exhilarates me, it challenges me, and when there's a challenge, I rise to new heights and new accomplishments. But they must have this sympathetic ear that, yes, we know. Not to rub, just ignore it and say, well, difficult, what? It's not so difficult. What are you talking about? It's not so hard. It's very easy. Just get into the habit. Just do it. You'll find that it's easy. It's not easy. If shibud to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if shibud to Torah Mitzvahs would be easy, we wouldn't have to be mekabel the Malchus Shomayim twice a day. And only after we're mekabel the Malchus Shomayim, in abstract, are we then mekabel the oil mitzvahs? Why be mekabel so many times? What's the issue? What are we concerned about? Because it is very difficult. Shibud is difficult. Responsibility is difficult. Obligations are difficult. Torah obligations are difficult. And our children must hear from us, not that, no, it's easy, it's nonsense, what are you complaining about? It's very simple. But rather, yes, it is. I too have my difficulties. I too feel the burden. But we find solace in the fact that the difficulties make us appreciate it more and motivate us more and challenge us more, and we feel more accomplished. And when we rise above the difficulties, we validate ourselves, we feel better about ourselves, we find true happiness. And this is the type of thing they must hear. If they just hear their complaints being ignored or laughed at, then all we really do is let them know that the older generation has no clue as to what's going on in their lives. And of course, we lose all credibility, and a life and a commitment to Torah mitzvahs is in itself put into danger. That having been said, in terms of validating their concerns, I think there's another point which was said to me actually this week by a machanach, a veteran machanach, a gifted machanach. But I believe it's something that's also relevant to parents. This machanach told me, he said, when I was young, I was a troublemaker, and I found myself regularly in the principal's office. But I always left with the feeling that I'd be back. And he explained what that meant was that he got the feeling that I'm a difficult child. I'm a problem child. I'm a behavior problem. I'm not well behaved. I'm troublesome. I'm troubled or troublesome. And I'm expected to be back, and I will be back, and we have to deal with me accordingly. And he said that he tries to convey the message that, no, you won't be back. We don't expect you back because you're a good person, because you're a good child. This behavior that you're misbehaving, and we may have to reprimand it, we may have to punish it. That may be true, but it's not what you're about. It's something that you did. You made a mistake. You made yourself, you made a foolish error. But you yourself are a good person, and our expectations for you and our appreciation of you has not changed. And I think this this particular idea is something that's very, there's a fine line, because oftentimes we are critical, and in being critical, even though we try only to criticize the act and not the individual, but the individual gets the message that I'm a bad actor. I don't mean that. I act poorly. I do bad acts. Because look, I do this, I do this, I do this. And in a sense, what we have to convey to this person is the message that, no, you're a person, a good person, and you do good things and you are a good person. Sometimes you make mistakes. These mistakes are atypical. This is not what you are, and this is not what we expect of you. This is rather mistakes that human beings, we're all human, and we all make mistakes, and these are mistakes that a human being makes. And it's really very, very important, because we know Chazal say that if a person views himself as a rosha be'enei atzmo, I'm not a good person. A person doesn't feel his sense of worth, his sense of tzelem elokim, his sense of kovet ha'odom, his sense of individuality, of chashivus, of who I am, then he can't perform properly. He sets his goals, his standards, his expectations very low, and lives up to those lowly expectations. On the other hand, if we do this for our children, then we set these low expectations for them, and they are unfortunately going to live up to the lowly expectations that we have, and not to perform at the level that we would want them to perform. I think that pertinent to this, and when I heard this from this machanach, and this is certainly relevant to parents as well, because it's very important that our children realize and recognize how much we really hold of them, that we really believe that they're good. And some of them can be so frustrating, and some of them can be so negative, and some of them can cause us, they're gay in the urine, they make our years go by quickly, and you know, not in a positive way, but they drive us crazy. But we have to be able to convey the message to them, not just that we love them, because love, of course, is indicative of a certain amount of appreciation, but for a parent, as we've mentioned before, to love a child, it's not all that indicative, because it's something that's natural, it's something that's almost, it is genetic. But that we hold from them, we believe in them, they are good, they're be'etzim very good, they make mistakes, but that mistake is not indicative of who they are. And this idea, when I heard this from this particular machanech, and it's really important that we drill this into ourselves. And some may say, like, why do we have to repeat it again and again? We know it, of course we know it. But as we've mentioned often, the longest distance in the world, the Bali Musa say, is from here to here, from our mind to our heart. What we know in our mind doesn't always penetrate, or oftentimes eludes or loses the focus or the connection with what we actually do in our feel in our hearts and what we actually do. As one of my children was always fond of saying when he didn't like the way I was dealing with a certain problem, he says, wait a minute, what if somebody were to call you and ask for advice? What would you say? Well, how is it you know exactly what to say to someone else, but when it comes to your own, you find it so difficult? And the answer is very simple, because knowledge is here. And what to say, I know from here. But what to do means that the knowledge has to penetrate and be maintained in the heart, and that's unfortunately not so easy. So it's worthy, I believe, of drumming in and repetition. That having been said, I think one of the most beautiful stories, which every parent should, and every machanach for that matter, should be constantly thinking about, is this story of this young kid who went around the yeshivas. I don't know. This kid was constantly in the principal's office, always misbehaving, every day the same speech, next day the same story, never being able to really get it straight, get his act together. One day the principal calls him in, same speech, everything comes out. Different person till the rest of the year. This was an exemplary, a perfect student, a perfect child, perfectly behaved and motivated unreal. Nobody understood what happened. Nobody could imagine what was going on. Someone finally at the end of the year asked the principal. The principal says, I have no idea. I said the same speech to him that I gave him every single day. I don't know what happened. And he calls in this youngster, and he asks him, what happened? And the youngster says to him, well, when I was sitting in your office, the secretary came in and said, there's a very important person on the phone that has to speak to you immediately. And your answer was, I'm speaking to one of the most important people in the world, and I cannot interrupt. And that was it. That's the only difference between that meeting and the other meetings. And that line changed his life. Now, a line can't change the life if they feel it's a line, if they feel it's an act, if they feel it's not sincere. But I guess he felt that it was sincere, it was real. This principle holds from me so much, considers me most one of the most important people in the world. Wow, that's it. That's the end. There's nothing more to talk about. I'm a chush of a person. I feel good about myself. The principal makes me feel good about myself. The school makes me feel good about myself. That's it. I got it made, and I'm a different type of a human being. So I think that this is very important for our children also to feel. So I guess in summation, what we're really saying over here is two things. Number one, that our kids, in order to maintain their loyalty and allegiance to the burdensome, and it is burdensome, life of a life of Torah and mitzvahs, you know, their privileges and their benefits, but they're difficult. And they must have a sense of privilege and benefit, and it's our responsibility to teach it to them, to teach them the tam, the reason, the inyan, the reward, and so forth, and exactly what it's all about. And if we don't, not only should we not be surprised that there's inappropriate action, but we should be held responsible for those inappropriate reactions because we didn't fully convey the message of what and why and how and all of the benefits of the mitzvahs. That's number one. And the second point is that in this process of dealing with our children, it's extremely important to have them become aware of who they really are. That when they make mistakes, these are atypical. They are good people who've made mistakes, and mistakes have to be corrected and reprimanded, but they are good people. If they are good people, and if they know that we expect good things out of them because they are good people, they will rise to the occasion, and the end result will, Be'ez Hashem, hopefully be a generation of youngsters, young men and young women that are deeply committed to a life of Torah and mitzvahs and are able to mitigate the burden with the appreciation for what it is and how it benefits us, and will have this positive image of themselves so that they will be further motivated to live up to that image and to further develop in the appropriate derech in life.
Thank you for listening to this presentation brought to you by Priority One. Please visit us online at www.priority-one.org. That's priority-1.org, where you can download free audio and publications on parenting, teaching, and teens at risk. For more information or to make a donation, please visit us online or call 800-33-4EVER.